Welcome to the Heart Journey podcast show, also known as the Whole Life Podcast Show with Dr. Barbara. I am Dr. Barbara Jean Losove. I am a minister and coming to you from our Christian worldview. And I also happen to be a psychologist. So we're going to talk a little bit about science as well. We are in a series where we're talking about from codependence to Christ dependence. And today I have my friend Anna Werner on the show, and she's going to talk to us about setting boundaries, not fixing. And we're going to tie in things she's seen in the spirit and what it's like to feel and sense things in the spirit and see things in the spirit and not take responsibility for everything we see, not get into fixing mode. We're also going to talk about the eyes of Jesus and how powerful his love is. You are going to be amazed. I can't wait for you to hear this podcast. Well, welcome to the Heart Journey podcast, also called the Whole Life Podcast Show with Dr. Barbara Anna Werner. Welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Dr. Barbara. I love any time we get to do stuff together.
Yes, we've done a couple summits together and a couple of your healing schools together. And every time, because both you and I love, I'm going to start crying. Both you and I love encounters with Jesus so much. And we've experienced how they heal, how Jesus heals us in those encounters. So can you tell us a little bit about your ministry? Because some people might not know what a seer is, and Anna is a seer. So Anna, can you tell us about your ministry? And we'll go from there, because I want to tie in some of the encounters you've had with Jesus into the healing of the heart.
Okay. First of all, I'm a mom and a wife. I'm just a person. I don't like platforms. People will give me titles like seer, prophetess. I'm just Anna, and I have two amazing children that I'm raising right now. We homeschool our kids out here in Idaho. I feel like we're unique in that we have kind of almost a homestead, but also I travel itinerantly and I minister, but raise chickens and kids. So I am a seer. As far as that terminology, it is in the Bible. It's not a weird, wonky term, but you may be new to that terminology. You might be like, what is she talking about? Is that, what is that? If you look in the Bible, and I actually encourage you to open your Bible and study this, look for it, you can find that Samuel was a seer, Gad was a seer, John, like the whole book of Revelation is out of like a seer encounter. So it's not just in Old Testament, it's in New Testament also. So I want to encourage you to look, but a seer is basically, this is the way I phrase it. It is someone who receives prophetic revelation from God through the gift, primary gift of seeing. So I get impressions often either with my eyes closed, where I'm praying for someone, or and the Lord will just give me a picture for them. I remember I was praying for someone on a ministry with my ministry team one time, and the Lord gave me this picture for this lady who is very reserved. I mean, she was so quiet and reserved, and yet I saw this lady riding a pool noodle. I was like, oh Lord, help. What is the revelation here? You know? And I just had to, it was the Lord said, do you trust me? He asked me that. And this is an internal conversation. I didn't hear the audible voice of God. I just internal conversation with God. And I thought, yeah, of course I trust you, God. And then he said, open your mouth and share with her what you see. And so I said to her, I'm so sorry. And I was so scared. And I said, I'm so sorry. This seems really inappropriate, or like maybe it doesn't fit. But often the Lord speaks to me through pictures. And I feel like he gave me a picture for you. And I'm just going to say it with my eyes closed so you don't even look at me, because I'm scared to share it with you. And I said, and it could be totally wrong. And it's okay. I'm just learning to hear the voice of God. So if it's totally off, let's just throw that aside and we'll just keep praying for you. And she was she'd come to our healing rooms. I should have mentioned this for healing specifically. She needed healing, miracle breakthrough in her body and all stuff. And so I said, I have this impression, I didn't use that word. I said, I saw this picture of a lady, and it was you, I think, riding a pool noodle. But here's the thing. I see you when you were like a little kid. Mm-hmm. You're not the age now. You're a little kid. And I see so much joy in you. And then suddenly, as I said that, the Lord then filled my mouth with the more revelation, what was behind that. But it was out of my first step of like obedience to share and just lay it on the line. You know, I could flop. It's like flip or flop. You know, I could just, that's faith, right? You step out.
Yes.
And I'm like, this could not go well. This woman looks really shy. I don't know, pool noodle. But I said, then the Lord filled my mouth and I said, I feel like you once had joy. And I'm wondering if something very traumatic happened actually around a pool. You used to be a very joyful person. And I feel like the Lord wants to restore this area in your life. And she starts bawling and weeping and she's like sobbing on me as I'm holding her. And my whole team is looking at me going like, what is happening? And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, God's doing something, but I'm wording, mouthing to them, I have no idea. I don't know. And she ends up after some time sharing with us that her brother had almost drowned in front of her when she was a kid. They were playing in the pool. She did ride pool noodles. They had a pool at their house. And her brother almost died. He was resuscitated. Like they were able to give him mouth to mouth, bring him back to life. You know, he spit all the water, but it was very traumatic. And from that point on, she remembered not being the same. Like she wasn't no longer a joy-filled child. She felt like a lot of her childhood was actually robbed from her. Like the enemy stepped in and stole her joy at that point. So we ended up praying for her for like trauma and PTSD to go from that event and for joy to be restored. And there's so much more to that story we don't have time for. But long story short, her back was completely healed after we dealt with that root of trauma that had come on her and the joy that was stolen and the pain that was still locked in associated to that memory. That pain was stored in her body, believe it or not. And so we prayed and she got completely healed. And we're talking back pain for more than like 20 years.
Yeah.
And she was healed that night. And so that is a small demonstration kind of how I operate as a seer. The Lord just gives me impressions with my eyes closed, or my eyes can be open where I'm in a meeting, or it doesn't have to be like in a Christian conference or something. I can be in Target with my kids or somewhere, and I'll see what looks like with my eyes wide open. I'll see an angel standing behind somebody, and I'll be like, ah, that's a healing angel. And there are different types of angels. That's a whole nother story for another time. You can find them in the Bible, different types of angels. There's healing angels, there's deliverance angels, there's messengers angels, there's armor bearer angels. I don't have enough time for that, but I'll see an angel standing behind someone and I'll go up to them and say, you know, do you need prayer for anything? Can I just pray for you? Is there anything you need? Because I already know there's an angel there ministering healing. And whether that angel brings a body part such as a kneecap, which has also happened sometimes in my meetings, and then like 50 people get healed from knee injuries, which is amazing. Or it's just that I just pray for the Lord to release healing. And he does. That's kind of how I operate as a seer. But the seer anointing is not about a gift, just to be clear. It is God working through us. Mm-hmm. It is not, it's not to be a platform. It's to be used by God for his glory. And yes. So my ultimate goal is to always lead people to the heart of Jesus, to lead them into encounter with him.
Beautiful. So good. The Lord speaks to me a lot through pictures as well. I get a lot of pictures, or sometimes they're pretty deep where it feels like I'm present in reality, but almost mm-hmm. like seeing a little bit of a movie. But what I love about how the Lord speaks is it always has authority. My husband said that one time. It's like a message comes to me that has a different kind of authority that feels like it's not from me. I thought that was a great description of when the Lord talks. It's always like an upward call and it has an authority. But I don't remember that I've seen with my eyes, that I'm not a seer the way that you have. And I don't believe I've gone as far into the spirit realm as you have, but I've read all your books and I love it because when I listen to you, Anna, I get to know my Jesus more because of the encounters that you have had. Now, Anna, we are in a series that where we're talking about codependency, from codependence to Christ dependence. And so we're looking at where we're related. It's kind of like most humans try to suck out of other humans things they can only get from the Lord. Now, we do need people, and God has designed the church to kind of be like a people hospital when we do it well, and to be there for one another. But people will never meet some of the deepest needs that only God can meet. This is why AA and other programs keep bringing us back to the spiritual. And this is why neurotheology is teaching us that when we think about God, it actually changes our brain. It heals our brain because we're made for Him. So what I would love to do is talk about some of the encounters that you have had with the Lord that tell us more about His safety, His love. And by the way, listeners, I want you to know that I've watched Anna, I've read her books, and she always confirms visions with the Word. She goes and gets confirmations. Yeah. I love that about her. And she's also she walks, as you heard at the beginning of the podcast, she walks humbly before her God. So I do want you to say, listen up, pull a chair up, because we're about to hear more about our Jesus. All right, Anna, anywhere the Holy Spirit takes you is fine. You have a vast experiences of going into the Spirit, being with Jesus, seeing the spirit realm, seeing angels. What can you tell us that can help, as Augustine said, our heart is restless until it finds rest in you, to find that rest in Him and to know more of Him so that we can sit back into that safety and security of Him more?
Wow. Well, there are so many different encounters I could share with you. I just want to be clear on something. Like, it's really important, like you said, Dr. Barbara, that because there's a lot of people who can say they've had encounters and these spiritual experiences, but we have to base it in the Word, in the Word of God, because we have to base it in the Word, because then otherwise you're just, is it really God? Is the question. Is it something that you're opening yourself up to that's not Jesus? There's a lot of New Age things out there that have trances, experiences, that kind of thing that is not godly at all. So just a few scriptures I want to share before I share some encounters in the Word, because so let me give an example. Moses, for example, in, I think it's Exodus 33:20, Moses cries out for God, show me your glory. Like, this is Moses who has already experienced God up on, he's been up to the mountain, had experiences where the glory of God came like thunder and he heard the voice of God, but yet he's still asking God for more. Show me your glory. And he's already had that crazy experience. And God says to him, you can't see my face and live. But then if you go back and you read earlier in Exodus 33:11, it says that the Lord would speak with Moses face to face. So it's not that the word is confused. It's just that there's different measures of encounter or revelation. And some of my encounters have been like where I'm meeting with Jesus friend to friend. And it's just like heart to heart. And then there's other encounters where I have similar to like in Revelation 1, where John says that he saw someone that looked like the Son of Man, and it says he fell at his feet like a dead man, like the fear of God hit him in the most positive way. And I've had those kind of encounters too, where it's more like the righteousness, the glory of God is so much that I'm just on my face, just weeping under his presence. And so there's different types of encounters. And it doesn't mean that they're not validated, but you do need to go back to the Word of God. Okay, enough about that. I just had to say that.
That's really good, I think, because we're so complex in our motives, and selfishness is so sneaky, right? Why do we have quarrels? Scripture says because we ask with wrong motives, and because there's self, and self can drive us in ways because we are spiritual beings. So we do need to be careful. I love the way that you give that warning. And if you read the whole Bible regularly, there are lots of sides of God, and it takes the whole Bible to interpret the whole Bible. And he is love, but he is truth. And he is forgiveness, but he is holy. And, you know, there was a big price that was paid for our forgiveness. And apart from that, we are under the judgment. And I think sometimes we move away from the ancient boundary stones. Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
No. It's good. It's good. It's true, because you have to look at the whole Bible, not just pick out like one scripture and just go, okay, this one thing is what I stand on. It's like, well, we have to see all the sides of God. And I honestly think that we are always going to be learning him. There's so many characteristics of God that we're always studying him. Even the angels worship and look at God and just say, holy, holy, holy. Like, there's constant worship, adoration, and studying of who is this God? Who is like him, you know? So I have had several encounters, and there's a few I can share, but one that I want to say, and I'm just giving you more a personal encounter, not one that's like, okay, I've seen God do incredible miracles where angels walk in the room and, like I said, carry a body part, and I just say, who needs this? And, you know, 50 people get healed from knee injury or something like that. And that all is incredible. And I love when God does that. I just go, wow, God. But like, I want to share with you something that personally transformed me.
Yes.
I was in Israel a couple years back with Sid Roth. He invited me to come and be one of like the main leaders of the trip, where there was 500 people on this trip with him, this tour of Israel. Mm-hmm. I had never been to Israel. So I was like, why are you ever putting me in charge of people? But yet he was like, I'm not looking after that. I'm looking after you to prophesy and minister to these 40 people. So I had 40 people kind of that were assigned to me or whatever, and I would just make sure they got from place to place, but also just really poured into them and ministered them the whole trip. But during that time, we got very little time as leaders to get a tucked away time, because it was just really, really busy. I thought I was going to rest. That was absolutely wrong. But at one point, there was a meeting of us, a few of us gathered in this room that was off to the side in the hotel. Like, the hotel had like a separate meeting room that was like, they called it, I want to say it was like David's Quarters or something
like
that.
Oh, were you at the David Hotel?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
You know what I'm talking about. And there was like,
I've only been once, like, but we stayed there with our tour.
Best food ever.
Like, oh my gosh. All fresh and healthy.
Yes, all fresh, healthy, all the dates and nuts.
The dates. Oh my gosh, the dates where you can just go in and get all the dates you want. I would get like dates for the day and eat them like candy. Mm.
I know. It was like amazing. But yummy. So we got to go to this one room. I know, now you're just going to make me hungry.
Yes, I know.
Now I'm back to the food and I'm like, I can't even talk about
food. Their breakfast buffet. Oh my God.
It's so good. So if you go to Israel, we highly recommend that. It's a great place.
Yes.
But anyways, a bunch of us leaders went into this side room and we are going to encounter, like we were there with, I want to say it was Ruth Heflin's, like one of her assistants that had been with her for many, many years was there just visiting in Israel. And so she wanted to meet with us in this side room. And it was like we were all sitting there talking about God and what he's doing, but basically the presence of God came in so thick and weighty. And I knew that I was going to encounter God. I knew that I was like, I'm probably going to be taken to heaven right now because I could feel how weighty the presence was. So I actually put my phone on record because I didn't want to miss all the conversations, but I knew I wasn't even going to be there. So that's what happened. I put my phone on record and basically I was immediately taken into this encounter with the Lord. And it's like, I saw, now that my eyes were closed, if I go back and like remember all the details, my eyes were closed. I saw this wall of fire in front of my eyes. I could feel the heat like on my face. Like it felt so hot, but it was the glory. It wasn't, some people describe the glory and it sounds magical and like pixie dust. And I'm like, the glory is hot. The glory is alive. The glory is full of the fear of God. The glory brings you to a place of transformation and repentance. Like it's not like, ooh, the glory. That has never been my experience, just to be really honest. When I experience the glory, it is like that scripture in Revelations 1:17, where he says, I felt like I was going to fall at my feet like a dead man. That has been my experience with the glory. But
when I experience the glory, being moved from glory to glory, it often comes through painful transformation. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like the burning up of the flesh.
Like when churches are praying for the glory, I'm like, are you ready? It comes like it's going to change everything. So I had this fire, you know, burning on my face and everything. And the Lord said, put your head in it. And I was like, what? And he said, put your head in it. And so I put my head in the fire and I could feel fire all on the top of my head. And he said, now open your eyes and look up. So I opened my eyes and I looked up and suddenly I was seeing the eyes of Jesus, just his eyes, looking at me. And they were, at first I felt like not shame, but just like, oh my gosh, he can see me, all of me, you know, like I didn't feel like, oh, I've got to cover up or anything like that. Like Adam and Eve went through that, you know, experience. It wasn't a shame thing, but it was like, just like, oh, like he can see all of me, all of my mistakes, everything that I am. Like this is the Holy One.
Wow.
This is Jesus. And
and yet you're deeply known, like holding that.
And then it was like, that was the initial feeling. I'm just going over the initial stuff, but it was like that. And his eyes were full of, because people ask me like, what color were they? And I'm like, they're all the colors.
Wow.
And they're alive and there's fire in them, like fire literally in his eyes. And so I felt that like, oh my goodness, he can see me. And then it was like those eyes radiated so much love. Like at first there was fire, the purification kind of thing. And then there was the like so much love in his eyes. Wow. And I felt
that reminds me of Romans 5. Like we go through a transformational fire process and then the love of God consumes us.
Yes, exactly.
That's scriptural.
It was that is how it, that was the order it went. Literally was fire and then love. And it was this love then that I have never felt so loved and so alive at the same time. Wow. In all of me, like all of you, God sees you, and you can think like, I've got to be, have it all together. Or I, you know, you can feel like, why am I not doing enough? Or, you know, like all those things that enemy can hit us with, but yet it's mm-hmm. love. And like I was just undone. I felt that undone feeling where I was crying. I was hot. I was sweaty. I was all the things, just undone in that. And then suddenly I was back in the room with all those people. And I couldn't even move. I was, and oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, as soon as I had felt that fire, that wall fire, I guess my hands went up like this, and I was holding my hands up like worshiping, and I didn't move like from that for a long time. I was like holding my hands in this encounter. And then suddenly I came out and I'm back in this room with everyone, and my hands are still up, and I'm kind of looking at my hands like, what, what's happened? And I remember I could barely talk. I was like, I think I only spoke in tongues at that point. And the lady that was there looked at me and she said, oh, you've been with him. And I was like, yeah, yeah. I was like, it was like she could see that I had been in his presence or with the Lord. She saw something on me that was changed. And I had other experiences on that tour with the fire and the cross of God. But basically from that experience, I was crawling. I went crawling out of the room because I could still barely stand. The weight of his presence was on me. It just was rested on me. And I had to crawl back to my hotel room and just lay there worshiping God on my bed.
Can you tell, for those who haven't felt the weight of God, can you tell them what that feels like in your body?
Yeah.
And in your emotions? So
everyone experiences God. I just want to say this. You can experience God differently. And it doesn't mean that, like, don't disqualify yourself if you're like, I didn't experience him like that. But because he can come with heat. Sometimes it can be the opposite where you feel the cool. Like I just prayed over my daughter last night. She had hurt her ankle ice skating, and I was praying over her, and she just said, I feel this cool, heaviness on me, like a blanket on me, but it's cold. And I was like, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. That's his presence. So for me, it comes when I felt the weighty presence. It felt like I was underwater looking up. That's kind of the weighty, heavy, like a heaviness kind of that comes over me. But it's not, it's full of love and peace. There's no, there's fear of God, but it's not fear, like painful fear. Mm-hmm. It's like a loving warmth kind of feeling that you have on the inside, if that makes sense.
Totally.
And there's other times I've been in weighty, thick presence of God, mm-hmm. and I feel peace himself walk towards me, and I feel still. Like I don't feel to be like, whoa, God. I just feel this like absolute calm stillness that almost just causes me to stop in his presence and be still and just take in that peace. And so there's different ways you can experience God, basically.
I love that. I'd like to talk about that encounter just from a science perspective for a sec, and then we can move on to the next one that comes up for you. But I was thinking about a couple things. One is that we often have trauma that comes to us through people's eyes. Just think about how many people have trouble with eye contact, and that trauma, like when people are angry and we see their eyes and we see mm-hmm. the tension lines around their eyes and we hear that prosody of their voice, but the eyes can transmit so much love, but also so much rejection, trauma. I'm angry at you. You're not enough. And so, so many of us have problems with eye contact because we're afraid. We're afraid of people seeing into us. We're afraid of what people might know about us, and this sense of imposter, like a lot of people feeling like I'm an imposter in my own life because we see every silly thing we've done, every failure, but we look at everyone else's kind of edited view, you know, what they show us is kind of edited because we don't always put our weaknesses forward. And so just thinking about the healing power of knowing I'm fully seen and fully accepted. And the other thought I have is this, this kind of, object relations theory where like, if I grew up with, if this is me and I grew up with like an angry parent, and then when I think of God, I kind of have this object relations where I can see him as angry, but he's not. He's full of love and compassion. Mm-hmm. And we receive that through Jesus because, you know, the wrath of sin has been taken away and God is a God of love. He is love. He's just also holy. And so this experience with him, and I want the listeners to soften into this, that God's not mad at you, that he loves you, that you're forgiven, and you are completely known and completely loved.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah, I think too, like part of that encounter experience, I think sometimes so many of us, I mean, I don't know if you can relate to this as you're listening, but so many of us sometimes try to, like what you were saying, like, you know, especially this day and age with like social media and all that's out there, we see a window into someone's life, but it's not really the full person, if you will. And so I think a lot of us, even be honest, like in our church or in our gifting or whatever, can feel like we're putting on a false mantle or a falsehood of who we are because we're trying to be something. For the longest time, I did this as a mom because I felt like I went through the most persecution ever when I had children because I had every mom opinion, which I've gotten, Dr. Barbara, I've gotten lots of inner healing from this.
But I had hard on our sex, but young moms can be so judgy.
Yes. And that was my experience of everything about just everything, what to feed your kid, how to breastfeed, how to not breastfeed, how to sleep rhythms, napping, like all those things. We're not in that stage now. Now it's like, how much screen time do you allow your kids? What do you allow your kids? What not to allow your kids? There's just so much, right? And I felt like I was just like, okay, I'm trying to be this mom, this view of a perfect mom. And the battle was, but I have such a calling in ministry at the same time. And I'm traveling itinerantly as well as like having a baby at home. And and then I had the moms that were like, you should wait till your kid's out of the house. You're screwing them up by not being there. But my husband and me are like so there for our kids, right? And so that was one of my internal battles. And you have your own probably that maybe you can't relate to that. You're like not at that stage, but we can all kind of try to be something we're not. And in his eyes, like fully, like I felt so much love of like, no, this is who I am. So there was such a healing of identity. And every time I've encountered Jesus or experienced any, there's such a healing of like, no, but this is who you are. And I felt the value, like I felt the Lord just validify, like, this is who I've called you to be. And all of that, just like, whew, I just felt so much of that just wash off of me. And I'm like, good. Hey, I don't have to be under this any longer or try to be something I'm not this way. I'm like, for example, I love that we live out on a homestead and we have chickens and I saw wood. I enjoy chainsawing yet I'm an itinerant minister. Yes. And that's okay. That's who I am. But there's so much just value. I feel like the Lord brings value back to you as a son, as a daughter of Him, as you're in His presence. And then vice versa, I felt so much. It's not just about, okay, getting your identity back. I mean, I don't know your walk with God. You can be 40 years into your walk with God, but yet you still need that daily just encounter with His love to solidify who you are, your purpose. But then what happened to me is I felt so radically changed. I felt so transformed, and I got a perspective for an even bigger perspective. I was already in ministry, but I felt such a bigger perspective for God's heart for other people and how He values and loves them out of that one encounter. I started to pray, Lord, give me your eyes so that I can see how you see. Because I had the encounter with how God sees me. So then I was like, God, give me your eyes so that I can minister from that place to everyone I come into encounter with. That makes sense.
Wow. Yeah, I'm thinking about when my kids do something, and I'm like, oh, you're your mother's child. And I think about how we are Imago Dei, that we are the image of God, and how He sees us, but He also sees Himself in us. Because when we are fully ourselves and walking out what the Spirit wants us to walk out, He's seeing a reflection back of like, oh, that's my sweet baby girl. That's, you know, she is my daughter. And He loves that so much.
Yeah, He does. He really does. So I just want to encourage those listening to this, yes. I think sometimes we can just kind of look over that encountering with Him. Because we are sometimes we go into encounters with Jesus, like, what can we get from Him? What can we, and instead of just like being in Him.
Yes.
Because that's where we find our wholeness. That's where the fragmented pieces of our life, which we feel fragmented, but we're not. But that's where we gain wholeness, really, and healing at the deepest level is in Him.
Yes.
It's only in Him, really.
So, you know, I would see it as we are a little fragmented, but He's the integration. And you maybe have had a different revelation, but like we have parts and like we have states of mind and we move into these places, but in Him, we are all whole. And in Him, you know, healing often looks like integration, and He is the integrator, you know. And in physics, if you have a loop that keeps spinning out of control, it needs an outside stabilizer. And in Him, He's that outside stabilizer. You know, that He's in us, I know, and we're in Him, but we need Him. And He pulls it all together. He holds all things together. Anna, could you share a little more of what you've learned in the spirit realm, just to help our nervous systems relax a little bit? I know that there is like the holiness, and often people are like, I'm dropping dead, and you know, they don't even think it. They're like, whoop. But as far as like the goodness of God that we want to soften more into so that we can step out of that people pleasing and just know that there's freedom in Him and it's okay to just be us in Him. What else can you tell us?
I mean, that's a big question. So much. I think that, okay, this is going to sound weird, but it's good. It's a good point of conversation, is being a seer. I have to learn all the time, like, what is mine to really press into for, like, if I'm seeing all the time, if I'm walking around and I'm seeing, we're going into Walmart and I'm seeing a person with a back problem and I'm seeing this person has a spirit of lust on them, this person needs deliverance, this person just went through divorce, this, like, say I'm seeing and my spiritual eyes are fully open, it can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It can give me a falsehood of like, I need to conquer everything and minister to everyone and be God to everyone. And that's not really my job. And so I just want to say that is like, when you talk about being stressed, I remember one time I was, or how to find balance in it all. I remember I was once ministering to an individual where he constantly would see the demonic stuff and he didn't know how to turn it off. So he actually went through kind of like massive crisis, mental crisis, mm-hmm. because of how much he was carrying. And I said, who told you that you have to bring deliverance to every single person? At the end of the day, like, you ask God for his direction. Who am I supposed to minister to? And sometimes you just can pray for them internally. Lord, would you just bless them? And it's not your job to go after every single person, because your job first is to be a son and daughter of him, of the King, and love him, and not make your identity your ministry, like that, not make everything about ministry your identity, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so, and he was like, wow, that's life changing. So there are places I've gone to, can I be honest, where I'm being a mom, I'm dealing with something, like my child is wanting to climb the big bag of dog food in the dog store and catapult himself off of it with something like scissors in his hand because he's a 9-year-old boy and that's what 9-year-old boys do. And in that moment, I am not wanting to minister to every single person in the dog store. And obviously, if God says stop for that one, Anna, hey, no, I want you to minister to them. I will. But I don't have to constantly be taking on everything like it's my crusade and it's my ministry, if that makes sense. And I know that sounds weird because, yes, we're to be the hands and feet of Christ. Yes, we're to be preach the gospel, heal the sick, bring deliverance. But Jesus ultimately only did what he saw the Father doing. And so Jesus, did he go and stop for every single person? He stopped for the ones that God told him to stop for. I just want to bring clarity on that because you can take this gift and get weird with it. And we need to be grounded in him.
That's so good. Can I say something related to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
I love that you brought that up. I was hoping that we would cover that topic because we're talking about the drive to fix things that aren't ours to fix with codependency and often to do so in the name, it looks like love, but it's often, we don't realize it always, but it's self-driven.
Right.
And when you have a seer gift, you see a lot of the things that need to be fixed. If you're more of a feeler and if you grew up with trauma, you're also kind of hypervigilant, like kind of scanning for threats. So here your gift can kind of activate a little bit of panic. So how do you set those boundaries? Like do you use some self-talk and how does Jesus show you? By the way, I love that. I try to live that every day. I only do what I see the Father doing. That's like my goal every day. But how do you do that?
Yeah, practically, I will ask the Lord, and I pray this often, especially if I know I'm going into an environment where there's a lot of people. Lord, would you show me, only open my spiritual eyes to see what I need to see? Mm-hmm. That prayer has been a game changer for me, honestly. And so it's not that I'm constantly seeing everything. It's that the Lord will turn it on when it's needed, and then other times turn it off, so that I can just be. And then even though I see things, I just internally, or every time internally, I pray for what I see. And then I ask the Lord, what do I do with this?
Good.
That's good. That's very simple, but that is what I do all the time. What do I see with this?
Good.
And then he'll say, that's enough. Just pray. That's it. Or try to talk to them later, or stop, and I want you to pray for this person. And I will if he says that, but I won't if he doesn't say it, I won't. I'm not driven by my need to fix things. But see, that in itself, I've gotten so healed in me.
Yeah.
Right. Because I, you know, I that's a point where I've been really healed, where I'm really, because I've seen it gone wrong when you're driven, when you're, okay, here's another thing. Mm-hmm. When you're ministering and the anointing has lifted, okay, mm-hmm. So there's an anointing for praying for people. There's an anointing for prophesying. And I know, and then I can feel the anointing lift. And then you ministers can get into the tendency where they keep going anyways, even the anointing has lifted, and not set healthy boundaries of, okay, I actually haven't used the restroom in the last 4.5 hours, nor have I eaten since 7 this morning, and I'm exhausted. Mm. Granted, I have done, if God says stay, if you'll stay for me, I will stay in that exhaustion, and there's grace for it. But see, there's a grace and there's anointing for it. But when he says the anointing has lifted, you're done now, you need to go now. If you don't obey that, you can get into burnout.
Because you're doing it in your own power, and it's
you're
exhausting.
In your own power, and it's exhausting, and it's not anointed, and it's, you get burnt out. And so just the healthy boundaries and just that constant like conversation with God.
It's good.
It's a constant communion with him of what do I do? What do I, but like I said, I do pray, Lord, only open my eyes to show me what I need, you know, what you want me to see. Yeah. And nothing more. And that has helped a lot.
So good. You know, I sense someone is listening and you feel like I've tried with Christ and you feel so burnt out. And it feels like you've tried to do all the right things and you've really worked hard for the Lord, and the Lord sees that and he honors your efforts. But at the same time, I sense that there is someone listening where the Lord wants to change how you do it, because you don't realize that you are moving. You're trying to do spiritual things in the flesh, and God wants to teach you those nuances so that you don't burn out, so that you only do what you see the Father doing. You know, in my work as a psychologist and also as a minister, our motives are so layered, and we can very quickly, if we're not sensitive or growing in that sensitivity, we can move into the flesh and into some selfish ambition without even knowing it. And yeah, so I pray for release for you. Anna, as we think about wrapping up, what else is on your mind here? And are you sensing anything for our audience today?
Yeah, when you were saying that, I just is it okay if I kitty off of what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel to encourage all of those who are listening to this, that you're the best way you can encounter the Lord. And I have several books and I do several teachings, mentorships. I've now mentored over 6,000 seers internationally, which is just, I just keep going, because until the Lord releases me, I'll just keep mentoring people, because that's my heart, right? Is just so that people can grow as seers. But your best place or way of encountering God is through rest. Mm-hmm. You can find this in scripture. It's in 1 Samuel 3, where Samuel, who's known as the seer, like one of the main seers in the Bible, it was in the place of rest. He laid down next to the ark that he first hears the voice of God. And then the scripture says after the third time that the Lord came and stood next to him. So he goes into hearing to an actual encounter where he sees the Lord. And so your best place is not in pressing, but in resting. Mm. It's in the resting with him. So a lot of times I will just tell people, imagine you are like the beloved that's written about in the Bible. So John, he says, see the beloved, you know, he lays his head against the breast of Jesus. It says that. And so when you're in your encounter time, the word. Obviously, there's different ways we can encounter God through word, through, you know, we read the scripture, we pray, we have worship music is a wonderful way. But just the act of closing your eyes and imagining you're laying your head on the heart, the place where the heart of Jesus is, just on his chest, and see if you can hear the heartbeat. Connect to the Father. Slow down for a second and just dial in and just connect in to him. And from that place, you can encounter him. And Jesus, I feel like Jesus had to do that all the time. You know, he had crowds of people all the time surrounding him. But yet there's parts in the word where it says he would go tuck away. He'd go up to the mountainside to pray and get alone with the Father. And you may have tried for years to just encounter God and feel like what Dr. Barbara was saying, just feel like dry or just like, I'm not encountering him. Why can't I encounter him? But it's in, the key is rest. The biggest key to encounter and seeing and just being in him is just rest, just that place of rest. And it's not physical rest. It's not just about physical rest, but some of you really do got to just slow down. That is a word for me, because I am like a person. From the moment I wake up, I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to accomplish? What are we going to, you know, and I've got a million things, and I seriously have to set aside all that and go, no, Jesus, I'm here.
Yeah.
It's a mental rest for me. Not that I'm emptying myself, because that's a new age movement of empty your mind, but it's that I'm making room or allowing myself to just come down and rest so that he can then, it opens up creativity and it opens up the space of the Lord's voice to invade my thoughts and to invade my heart and to invade my mind. You know, it's that I'm not running with all the things I've got to do, but I'm resting in him. Yeah.
We have some relatives that live in Colorado, and they're kind of a little bit hippie lifestyle. Anyway, my husband went to visit them, and they do this tea ceremony where they kind of listen to the self. But anyway, Tim did it Christianly and just listened to the Lord, and he brought it home. So we actually sit down on the ground. He rinses out the cups, and then he pours in the tea. And our tea maker is my friend who makes Christian tea, or, you know, she makes tea and prays over it Christianly. And we actually set the timer for 30 minutes, and we drink this tea, and we listen to the Lord for 30 minutes. And every once in a while, like, he washes out the cups, and then he puts more tea in. And the Lord just spoke to me. It's like the cups are kind of like us, and he's cleansing them. And then he fills us with Christ, like, you know, he saturates us like the tea. Anyway, so we took something that actually wasn't, you know, Christian, but it gave us a way to just wait on the Lord for 30 minutes together as a couple. And we haven't done it for a couple of weeks, but we were doing it twice a week. And it's amazing, because God would speak to us as a couple, often similar things, like the way that God moves among us together as a couple, even, and in that waiting and listening. And the drinking the tea and then setting the timer for 30 minutes, it just kind of, I don't know, there's something about drinking a little bit of tea and listening first thing in the morning. It really helped us with that stillness and solitude.
It probably slows you down, right?
Because you're slows sipping us that down, tea. Yeah.
It slows you down. It forces you into be like that. It almost forces you to be reflective and
it does
get into that state of just like, okay, Lord, speak, because your tea is not, you can't just chug it.
Yeah, burn that's your mouth. Right, because it's hot. Right? Yeah, I think so. And I don't know why it helps, but it helped a lot. And it's really important. Also, this summer, I felt like the Lord told me to take a drive up to Canada by myself. And so I went on a pilgrimage with the Lord and didn't talk to humans other than people I met here and there on the trip for like 9 days, and just spent those 9 days with Jesus, being reflective, meditating, looking at those patterns in my life that he wanted to bring up is dross and purge out. And going all the way up to, I went to like Anne of Avonlea. I went to Cavendish up in Prince Edward Island. It was like a journey to belonging in the Lord and then coming back. But I think that we definitely need that time with him and to intentionally focus on him in any way that we can work that in. And for me as a visionary, I think I need like, this is what we're doing.
Right, right. I'm the same way. And I do the same thing. I do tucked away like retreats with the Lord where I intentionally pick places that are tucked away. They're not near all the convenience.
That's good.
Of just where I would be distracted.
That's good.
By errands or, you know, I pick cabins up places where I can just get away with the Lord. And I do that throughout the year where I save up money to do those retreats with the Lord. Cause it's so important. And I have to force myself to do that. I have to force, cause I can just be so driven sometimes. And,
Anyways, so we're getting ready to enter into a healing school, and I would love for you to talk about what you're doing in your ministry and the opportunity that's before us, because many people have the seer gift, and it can feel, or some people have the seer gift, and it can feel overwhelming, and sometimes people even feel like they're having a psychological crisis, and but it's actually a gift, and we have to learn how to steward it and even set boundaries on our codependent fixing behaviors. Can you tell us about Healing School? And I'm so honored I get to be a part. So tell us about this and how we can sign up.
Yes. So I have a Healing School coming up in January, and it is 6 weeks long. And it's incredible. It's online because we have so many people that join in internationally. I've done this healing school before. Actually, the Lord asked me to start training people on a healing school back when COVID broke out. Believe it or not, it was that year before COVID broke out that the Lord said, you're going to do this. And I shifted gears to mentoring people online. And the healing school is an incredible way for you to receive miracles. People, it's not the same school every year. I ask the Holy Spirit. I spend a long time praying and asking the Lord who to invite to be part of the school. And you're part of it this year, Dr. Barbara, and we're so excited to have you, as well as Joan Hunter and Mike Hutchings. Joan Hunter will be speaking about healing, like blockages. To walking in miracles, which is a huge, amazing, amazing thing that she's going to be speaking on. And then Mike Hutchings, which deals with trauma and PTSD. And Katie Souza will be in dealing with healing of the soul. She's amazing.
I love Katie. Really deliverance Katie and ministry. Mike have been on the podcast before.
Yes, they're both amazing people. And Jane Hammond will be dealing with healing from generational curses, and myself. And so every speaker is going to be teaching as well as doing a live Q&A with students. We see so many miracles. So either if you're needing healing or you as well would like to get training, because it's also a training and equipping school, I'd love to have you be part of it. And I have one thing that's unique about when I mentor people is I have an intercessory team for the students that is praying for the students as they're going through it. But I am expecting to see God do some really amazing things through this healing school. And as well, if you're wanting training on more the seer, usually in the fall, I always have seer, like a seer school that I do. And that's where that is really my heart. And you think, why both? It's because I'm a seer who works in healing. Like I see a both. And so, but I really have a seer school that's, I always do a seer school online for people and it's incredible. And we've seen so many people grow in the gift of seeing, and I'm forever mentoring people in that internationally. And I really love doing it. And people, you're welcome to find my website, which is my name, AnnaWarner.org. And you can find all information about upcoming schools and especially the Healing School, which is the coming up right away. You know, it's open registration right now. And as well, my book, the first book I wrote, The Seer's Path, I really go over practical tools for the seer realm. Things that I wish I would have known as the seer realm was really opening for me, I put in that book. So I like spiritual, but I like practical with it as well, so that we can have hands-on, like, practical training, if that makes sense.
So good.
Yeah.
Do you have time for a question?
Yeah, go for it.
I always teach people, I want to see what you think about this, but if they've had an encounter that they can go back to it, and I think I got that from you. Did I get that from you, that you can kind of go back and go back into it and deepen it?
Yeah, so I have yet to have Jesus tell me no to that. Many times I'll have an encounter. One time I had all I saw was a drop of water. I kept seeing this drop of water all the time. And I was like, I have no understanding what this is. And so I was like, Jesus, would you take me back into that encounter and show me more? Was always the question. I felt like if Moses could pray, show me more, show me your glory, after he had experienced the glory, why can't I ask God to show me more? And then every time, and the Lord has never told me no. He says, of course, my daughter. Every time that is his answer. Of course, my daughter. And the next time he showed me the drop of water that led me to a lake. The next encounter was that led me to a river, that led me to a boat where Jesus was on the boat, that led me to Jesus saying, come, I want to show you something, and taking me into a heaven experience. And so every time God can take you back and give you more revelation and understanding to an encounter
I've not had a heaven encounter, but I've definitely encountered Jesus in dreams. Well, one of them might have been a heaven encounter, one dream, but so I'm so excited. I could talk to you forever. Thank you so much, Anna Werner, and I'm sure we'll be together again. You're one of my favorite people to talk to because I love to think about the things you're saying that you see in the spirit and then tying them into some of the things I know from science. It's super fun, super cool. Thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you. Thank you for having me so much.
Wow. Don't you just want to see the eyes of Jesus? Oh, y'all. Every time I read Anna's work, I visit with Anna, I podcast with her, we've done summits together, I just want more of Jesus. Don't you just want more of the Lord? Oh, y'all. Well, I used to say, and I still say, you're not healthy unless you're hungry, hungry for the Lord. And we're talking about human flourishing. Humans flourish when we are in relationship with the living God and moving from glory to glory and allowing him to cleanse us and allowing him to renew us and to know him in his love, in his death and resurrection. All right, don't forget about our free resources, drbarbaraministries.org/rejection to get your book on overcoming rejection and /self-parent to learn how to parent those parts that we talked about in the podcast. I love you, and I will see you in all the usual places. Make sure you're following the podcast and following Dr. Barbara Ministries on the socials. Love you. Mwah.